So today we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes 8. And to start with, I'm just going to read the passage, and then I'll go into my notes. It says, it's on page 676, just so you know. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you doing? Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighed down in misery. Since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? As no one has the power over the wind to contain it, so no one has the power over time of their death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others, to his own hurt. Then too I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This too is meaningless. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before him. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go down well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. There is something else meaningless that occurs on earth: the righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of their life God has given them under the sun. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labor that is down on earth, people getting no sleep day or night, then I saw that all that God has done, no one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all the efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it. So this verse is kind of self-explanatory a little bit, I felt like. It gives us a lot of answers. And what I've tried to do is I've tried to expand it and bring it a little bit closer to us as people living 21st century after Jesus. So hopefully you get that from what my notes say. But first of all, I'm going to talk a little bit about where it talks about the king, people who are over us. So I interpreted that as the people that we vote and put in power. Those four are up there because they're the four that have been the most prominent in my life. There's also John Major, but I didn't have enough space to fit him on. But we should really, I know that I can be quite disrespectful to, I have been quite disrespectful to at least two of those since I've got older. But really, we should respect their choice, because ultimately, as a nation, we put them in power over us to make the laws, to uphold our country. Or even though they might use the power that we give them for wrong reasons that we think, we still have to go along with it until the right time is to disagree with it. So we have to figure out when it is the wise time, when it's the wise time to say the right thing, and when it's the right time to actually just keep our mouths quiet. And really, I think that shows us that our vote, that we should actually vote. I don't mean to get political, but really it does show us the importance of our votes, how much we can have a huge say in the people who put in power. And to go along with the wisdom, I asked Alicia if I could share this story. It includes our bank, a little bit of our... But we, when we were living in America, we decided that we'd try and start up our own business. Probably not the wisest thing to do when you have a baby on the way and no revenue. But we tried. It also meant that we, for our business, that we needed a van. Unfortunately, the van we were able to afford didn't look quite look like that. But the van we bought had a ton of issues. The guy we bought it off said, if you pay me a little bit extra, I'll fix it all up for you, I'll repaint it. He basically just repainted it. But we really didn't tap into wisdom about when was it the right time to buy it? Was it the right vehicle? Did we make the right choice? And in Ecclesiastes 8, I think it really starts to hit home. Actually, wisdom is all about the right time and knowing just what is it the right choice. It also goes into just saying we cannot control what happens to us, i.e., we can't control when we die, we can't control when we get sick. We can try our best to control that stuff by eating healthy, living, trying to live longer, exercising, but we really just cannot control it. And the same goes for people who practice wickedness or sin. We can't, if we are fully living in sin and wickedness, it will get so out of control that we can't control it and that it will not leave us. It will just sit in us, keep us down, push us away, and people won't want to be around us. We'll just be the evil of evils. Amazingly, there is a way that we can turn away from that. We can rebuke it, and how we can rebuke it is by Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we have wickedness and sin in our lives, we turn to Jesus. That is the only way that we can get rid of it. We have to rebuke it through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through God, to be able to get that wickedness off of us. If we don't do that, then the wickedness will just sit, stay. It just won't go. Wicked and evil people just don't respect God. They don't really see God as something significant, although God sees them as significant. Their shadow won't be lengthened, and really this is kind of what I got from this whole passage, is that the shadow thing really sat with me, because there's been times in my life where have I been so close to God that my shadow's been seen all day. What I'm trying to say really is that have I been close enough to the Lord that wherever I go, people know that I'm a Christian, that I'm close to God? Or am I wicked and sinful enough, and so much is on me that nothing shows apart from that, where my life kind of comes across as insignificant? So we have to stay close to God. We have to push into him. We have to learn about him. We have to grow with him. We have to try and figure out, actually, if I am reading my Bible, if I'm worshiping, if I'm praying, everything like that, is my shadow going to grow to have people come and have refuge in that shadow? Because I've lived in Florida. If there's enough shadow, you go and sit in it. People find refuge in shadows. People use shadows to relax. And really, for us as Christians, we should be using our faith as that for other people, to bring them in, bring them close to us. But the wickedness that's in our lives and the sin, if that stays in us, we can't bring other people in. We might be able to call ourselves a Christian, but in reality, are we having that metaphorical shadow to bring people in? And actually, this bit is kind of goes into the fact that this guy in New Zealand, that regardless of how you die, when you die, everybody gets a funeral. And the sad thing is that this guy is probably going to be celebrated by many people around the world for the things that he did, because there are people in the world who will relate to what he did and think that that's the right thing to do. If you do bad things, as it says in Ecclesiastes, you could get great rewards. Or if you do great things, you could get no rewards. Or you can be an evil person and have a great funeral, because everybody just, that's just the way our world works, isn't it? You could be an evil person in Ipswich, but there's still going to be people who love that person, who come to a funeral, give them a good send-off, and forget that, oh, they actually did pretty bad in their life. So yeah, we do definitely need to just stay close to God. We need to make sure that... Sorry, I have a lot of notes. We just need to make sure that we stay close to Jesus, tap into him, pull him close, make our shadow great, rather than just having something small. Because if we want to go to heaven, if we want to have that eternal life, we need him. Even though they might get, wicked people might get great things, or the things that we deserve for being righteous, they might get it in this life, but they won't get it in the next. Whereas we will, which I think is amazing. I'll happily go through trials and tribulations now and have a great afterlife than not. You know, the only way that we can, and I know I'm really hammering this bit kind of home, but that in Ecclesiastes 8 it says that we have to go out and live life to the full, enjoy life. And when I search for a picture, I just put enjoy or enjoyment in on this free image website, and this was one of the ones that came up. And to me, it just summed up what I feel like a Christian life should look like. Just complete enjoyment. And then I don't know if you can read what it says on his t-shirt. It says, this world is full of hope. Begin to proceed with. And I think it says it. And I just think that's just a perfect image of how a life with Jesus in it looks. Even when you go, even like I'm sure children, and I know children go through days where they are just tired, upset, annoyed. Because I have a one-year-old and she gets tired, upset, and annoyed. I get tired, upset, and annoyed. Normally all at once together. but most of the time, this image is really how I feel about my faith and my life. In Ephesians 3:14-20, it says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches may he strengthen you with the power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So to me that just reiterates just that God will give us this life. If we take our wickedness and sin to him. But we won't get this life. if we sit with all of this in us. So we need to start to choose, are we going to lengthen our shadow or are we going to shrink our shadow? Tomorrow, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but tomorrow I could be walking on the road and get hit by a bus. In my time from today until I was born, have I lengthened my shadow? I'd like to say I have. I'd like to say that I'm amazingly close to the Lord. But some days I'm probably not. Some days I am. But I've learned that if I have all of this stuff in my life, that I'm not. I used to... I just like this picture, so I'm just going to... Before we moved over to the UK, I moved back and Alicia moved over here. I worked at the airport at Tampa for about, 3 months? Which I really enjoyed that job. I really enjoyed it. It was great fun, had good variety, quite dangerous. Living on the edge every day was quite enjoyable. Maybe not for Alicia. But I worked way too hard. The hours were crazy. One week I did 60 hours. I'd go to work at 10 a.m. I'd come home at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. if the planes were on time. If they weren't on time, it would be one day I went to work at, I think it was 4:30, and came home the next day at 2 a.m. For me, that's a great example of how our societies are becoming, of actually we tend to work way too hard, but for what purpose? Are we working hard in the stuff that actually means something, or are we working hard just to get by? And this is what I felt like when towards the end of this passage is that actually it just made me remind myself of everything under the sun I'm doing, is it worth it? Is it bringing God into other people's lives? Is it bringing God into my family? Am I, as a person, providing for my family, not just financially, but am I providing for them spiritually, the most important thing? Am I providing a safe place for them? And the great thing is that even though we can work so hard, we can still enjoy life. But we do need to find the balance. I needed to find the balance, didn't I, Alicia? I didn't quite find it. But we do need to find that balance of going out to work, but also to enjoy the life that's been laid out before us. And the amazing thing is that what's been laid out before us, we're not going to know. I kind of find that amazing. Some people might find... I know that Alicia doesn't like surprises, but I like surprises. I like to know... I'd like to walk out somewhere and kind of have a whole new experience without knowing about it. And that's what it says at the end, towards the end of this passage. It just says that basically we can be as wise and as knowledgeable as possible, but we still don't know what God has for us. We can pray to God, we can ask him, and he might give us snippets of what's to come, but we ultimately don't know what he has planned or what is to come on this earth. And to me, that's just incredible. Because if I can comprehend it, then it's probably not that great. So yeah, I really just want to challenge you and to kind of go home this week and think about, am I casting a big shadow? Is my shadow lengthening as the days go on, or is it shortening? Are the stuff that I'm doing in my life keeping me in a wicked place or keeping me in a godly place? Am I taking my stuff to Jesus to lighten my load, or am I taking my stuff to quick fixes? Like, food is a quick fix for me. Or am I like lusting, or am I doing like being greedy, that kind of stuff? If I am doing all of those things, my shadow's just going to get less and less and less. So yeah, I just really like to challenge you all this week to just go home and every day just think, is what I'm doing, first of all, am I enjoying the life that God has set out for me? Am I doing things that is making my faith greater, making people around me understand that I am a Christian? Am I doing things that are making me happy, enjoyable? So that's really what I felt led to say today. But what I'd like to do is I'd like just to pray before we finish. Lord, thank you so much for this passage. Thank you that Ecclesiastes can be a little bit blunt sometimes, and challenging to us. Lord, I just pray for myself and for the congregation and everyone here that we just sense you this week, that we feel that you are in our lives. Lord, I pray that you challenge us in ways that draw us closer to you. And I just thank you that we can come and worship together in safety. We pray for the people in New Zealand once again, just lift them up to you. And Lord, we just pray that never happens in a place like this. We love you, Lord. Amen.